And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus on this Tuesday, June 10th. It's feeling more like June out there with temperatures currently in the upper 70s to low 80s across the area. Far cry from the 50s we were at yesterday. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki along with our Ag Director Bridget Riedel. And it's finally feeling a little more like summer out there today, Bridget. It's about time.
Well, it was a bit of a change from yesterday, there's no doubt.
Yeah, and I know a lot of the pools, some of the pools officially opened yesterday. Poor kids didn't even get a chance to use it. But today's a different story, and we'll continue our warm-up into the mid-80s. And I do believe we'll see a couple of spots that could touch the upper 80s before the afternoon is done today. But then a cold front hits, oh, by about 3, 4 in the afternoon. That'll switch our winds to the northwest and push in a little more smoke for tonight. But most of that should be upper-level smoke, and then a quiet day tomorrow, and then a chance for some rain Thursday late in the day into Friday morning, early morning. The first half of the day on Thursday should be dry, and the back half of the day on Friday should be dry. But in between, we could get some beneficial rains. Our models are all over the place on amounts, anywhere from a tenth of an inch to close to an inch. I mean, that's a huge disparity from short distance out. But I do believe we'll probably pick up about a quarter, half inch, with some spots picking up a little bit more than that. And then we should warm things up as we head into the weekend. But as we head into next week, we are looking at a heat ridge down to the south building northward. Now, we're going to be right on the northern edge of that heat ridge. And what that does is bring these storms that usually ride right along that heat ridge. So we'll get hot, we'll get some storms, and the cold front will cool things down for a day or so. Then the heat builds back. So it's not the constant heat. And that's part of the stormy LRC cycle, the stormy part of the LRC cycle that Gary was talking about, middle of the month till the end of the month. So our storm chances and rain chances are going to significantly increase here, middle of the month, which is next week, all the way through the end of the month. So a pretty wet second half of the month of June expected around here.
Tell you what, for us, having a crop in, taking some moisture, what's that going to do? That's going to drive some fungicide use for sure. We're in far better shape than we have been in years past. Mm-hmm. Just this morning, I had conversations with producers in Arkansas. At least this is probably going to be a record year for preventive plant for them. Also, a farmer friend in New York State, he's in Western New York, and he has mentioned that for them, this will be the first time they're only going to get 50% of their crop planted due to the heavy rain. That 3.5 inches of rain last night.
Where was this again?
Western New York.
Wow. Okay.
So you are seeing various areas of the country that are really waterlogged, and that's going to cause some problems.
Yeah.
You're not going to see all the crop going into the ground, which then translates back to a number of things. You know, then we start worrying about preventive plant acres as far as crop insurance is concerned. Now, before anybody says, holy cow, what about our food supply? Remember, we operate on a very large scale, and there will be areas that have trouble, but that doesn't mean that we're suddenly going to worry about the grocery store shelves being overly empty at this point.
Yeah.
So unfortunate for all those, though, who are trying to farm right now.
Right. Yeah, no doubt. Well, I mean, conditions are better, like you said, around here, and that definitely helps out, a lot, at least locally. And I'm sure if you haven't caught it yet, we are running a contest online where we're giving away a year's worth of groceries, $10,000.
Yep.
You could win worth of groceries for a year. So
if you have teenagers in your house.
Oh, boy, yeah.
It's a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, think of what you could do with that extra 10 grand that you'd normally be spending on groceries. You could take a nice vacation, you know.
Vacation?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I'm thinking about, like, insurance premiums.
That
if you
too?
Need a car for a teenager.
Well, that was my next
payments.
Thing. You could buy a used car for your kid.
Oh,
you know?
Man. Yeah. There is no doubt that that could be put to good use for a lot of households.
Right.
I don't care if you are a single person, like Addison, $10,000to help out with your grocery bill for the year. How do you feel about that?
Addison doesn't eat $10,000 worth of groceries, so.
No.
But you would.
Yeah, I would if I had it. Yeah. I had it.
Right there.
You have to get a deep freezer.
Right.
I should just mark myself as the winner.
Yeah, good luck.
If you are a multi-person family, maybe a multi-generation household, what a great opportunity.
Yeah, and if you want to register for that, log onto our website, wdayradionow.com, and look for the $10,000 grocery giveaway. But we've got a qualifier that has a chance. You've got 9 minutes and 70 seconds to call in to qualify to be a potential winner for this. And today's qualifier is Hannah Hyman. Hannah, You have 9 minutes and 70 seconds to call. Again, that's Hannah Hyman. And Hannah, again, 701-293-9000 is the number to call, 701-293-9000. And again, today's qualifier is Hannah Hyman.
Actually,
good luck, Hannah.
The bigger contest here is how fast can someone call in? It's not, you know, do I need 9 minutes and 70 seconds? Is can I get in within the first 15 seconds?
Right.
How quick can you dial the JLA insurance phone line of 701-293-9000? You do not get to send us emails. Not for qualifying. You can do that if you have questions, ag or weather at flagfamily.com. And you can always follow us on Facebook, YouTube, and Acres TV. But Hannah Hyman needs to call us again.
Or if you know Hannah, shoot her a text and say, hey, you got to call in here to be one of the qualifiers. And I believe it's what, July 10th, is it?
I believe it is the day that we pull the name on that. So. Yeah. That is going to be a big afternoon.
And a big thanks to Alsager Meats and Kingpins for putting this together. So
and we're going to have some spots where you can attend. You can go in person to register too. Besides going to our website and clicking the button, I had people text me yesterday that they'd gone ahead and registered. So hopefully they're a qualifier throughout the next few weeks.
Yeah, good deal. Again, today's qualifier. You got about 8 minutes to call. Hannah Hyman. Hannah. You're running out of time, Hannah. Come on. There's going to be some hungry people in your household that want you to qualify for this.
I would say this is a time you're going to want to get on it pretty quickly. Other things that maybe you want to get on and take care of, well, one of them could be for those who are in the field right now and you're looking at kochia and you're thinking, is this resistant or not? North Dakota State University reminds us that, first of all, there's a lot of resistance to multiple modes of action with kochia. There are kochia populations that are resistant to the group 14s, which are PPOs, group 9, which is glyphosate, or group 2, which is ALS inhibitors. That makes a lot of sense to those of us who might be spraying fields, making recommendations. And if you have that concern, you can reach out to your county agent because you can take tissue samples and have them sent in to be tested, not only for kochia, but for pigweed potential resistance as well. And now's a good time to do it. I had a text message last night of a field that there was corn there, but holy bejesus, was there kochia. It was, wow. I was completely impressed and horrified all at the same time. So if you're curious if that field could be resistant, I would strongly recommend that you reach out to NDSU to see about getting that taken care of.
Hmm.
Now, along the lines of technology, we can talk about that while we wait for Hannah Hyman to give us a call for her great grocery giveaway qualifier. We also have a new buyout in the marketplace. So Sentara is a software mapping company, and they have recently been acquired by John Deere. They will continue to be a standalone company. They will operate under John Deere's Intelligent Solutions Group, much like Blue River Technologies and Bear Flag Robotics already does. But what can Sentara do? They can help with the See and Spray sprayers. These are targeted optic sprayers, and Sentara uses what they call smart scripts. It's a drone-based imaging. It scans the field, will build a weed pressure map, which is then loaded into the cab on the sprayer on the computer. Now, the sprayer operator sees exactly where weeds are in the field, and they can focus those efforts there. So it really helps with logistics. Particularly, a big question we have had as crop consultants in the field is, how much do you load? What's your mixture that needs to go in the sprayer? Because you don't know before you get out and start spraying. Well, I would say that this is going to be a step up by being able to use Sentara software to help build these weed pressure maps. So we're going to watch how this develops. This is a recent acquisition by John Deere. All worthwhile. Right. And they're also, Sentara is a Minnesota-based company. So something local that's also being taken up by John Deere. Harvest Good. Profit was here just a couple years ago, too.
All right. Hey, how much time does Hannah have left there, Addison?
We have 5 minutes, 53 seconds.
Again, Hannah Hyman, come on. You got 5 minutes to be one of our qualifiers to be a potential winner for $10,000 worth of groceries. Again, Hannah Hyman. If you know Hannah, you better give her a text, call her at work, knock on her door, wake her up, whatever it takes to get her to call in 701-293-9000 to qualify. So, Hannah, you got a few more minutes left. Until then, we're going to take a quick break. Did you have something, Bridget?
No, I think that's good. Let's get caught up. I've got several messages here, and we're going to bring our guest in. Our next segment is On the Auction Block with Max Steffes. So, Addison, we're going to need the auctioneer's chant.
Did he say 40-20 power shift? That was a lot of money for a 40-20.
Didn't he? Yes, he did. Oh, and it is welcome to the auction block, and we have with us Max Steffes with the Steffes Group today. By the way, congratulations. You guys are the Fargo-Moorhead West Fargo Chamber of Commerce Business of the Year.
Whoa. Yeah, we are. Thank you, guys. Yeah, appreciate that. Nice to get some recognition.
Well, you've had a longstanding history in the region. Mm-hmm. And Brad, who just did the auctioneer's chant for us, has been a longtime auctioneer for you at Steffes. So I feel like it's a lot of history every time one of you comes on with us.
Yes, a lot of history. Family business, of course. A lot of people don't know it, but Brad is my, I guess it'd be my second cousin. He'd be my dad's first cousin. So it's always been a family business, and we've got roots in the Valley. And like I said, it's nice to, it's an honor to have that award from the Chamber and get some recognition and hopefully be able to retain and hire some new people out of that.
That's good. And Max, you've got a lot of auction. I'm looking over some of these auction events that you guys have coming up just this month. 87, is that right?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Whoa.
I think so far this year we've done about 210, 220 auction sales. So last year we did about 600, so hopefully on our way to 600. But June's been a busy month for us. Just today alone we have 10 events, which is just crazy for me to even hear that. 10 auctions in one day.
Any rhyme or reason why so much this month?
You know, it's a good window after the planting season has hopefully, I'm probably some people putting in some late beans or flowers or something, but pretty much everybody's wrapped up. I actually saw somebody on the Sabin Road putting in potatoes on Sunday. So there's some planning still going on, but it's a good window after farmers are not so busy anymore. Hopefully they're spraying now.
Right.
They hopefully are spraying. And I know your specialty is a bit more in the land auction side, but I can tell you that this morning on our morning shows, I was talking about prevention of baler fires. And for those who have been holding over that baler for a while and are thinking, I didn't want to spend any extra money on buying equipment, but maybe I'm at a point where I need to. Due to the fact that your summer printed catalog is coming out with 82 auctions in there, it might be a place to find a baler these days.
You bet. Those will be hitting the mailboxes hopefully this week, the 13th of June. The digital version is up on our website if you want to take a look now. And that catalog features 135 upcoming auctions events. And like you said, there's 87 of them are in June, and we're kind of halfway through that run.
Oh, man, that's huge. Okay, were you able to attend the Midwest Ag Summit this morning as well?
Yeah, I was.
Okay, so you and I both went. What were some of the things that you saw today, Max?
You know, the $28 billion from Canada, that was interesting.
Wasn't it, though?
Yeah, for the ag, for those listening, $28 billion they buy from us in ag products. So they are a serious trading partner from an ag perspective. Yeah. The other interesting part was the project out in Richardton.
Yes.
Trying to make jet fuel out there. Yeah, I maybe heard that, but didn't pay too much attention. So that's an interesting project, too.
So you brought something up there, and that's Gevo is the company that is looking at sustainable aviation fuel, and they bought the Red Trail ethanol plant out in Richardton because Red Trail has been taking their own carbon emissions and sinking them into the ground, right?
Yes.
They're not worried about a pipeline and go do it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
But not just the gentleman who spoke on behalf of Gevo, but I heard it one other time that gasoline is declining. And that there are folks looking for more sustainable options. I was surprised to hear that.
Yeah.
To hear the gasoline's declining. Do you see any of that, whether it's a pipeline potential, whether it's someone talking about more sustainable sources for fuel? Is that affecting land prices in any way? Is that ever part of the discussion someone has with you when they're getting ready to buy or sell?
Well, I think anytime you have a major investment like that made in a rural community, I think it's going to have an impact on ag, whether it's a dairy going on in south of Abercrombie or around Hillsboro or a crush plant going into Castleton or maybe some repurposing of a existing facility. They're still going to utilize that corn product. I think they said that there's 700 growers that bring corn in every day. So that's going to have an impact on a local basis in terms of land values, land rents, and land availability. So it's certainly something we keep an eye on.
Oh, I don't think you can stop looking at any of these things right now.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of projects. North Dakota's got a lot going for them, both from an ag perspective and energy perspective. And it's cool to see some of these investments being made. Here in the Valley, we've got those two dairy projects that are potentially going in up in Hillsboro and down in Abercrombie. We've got the crush plant. We've got all sorts of other projects that you've highlighted through your reporting. So, I mean, that's going to benefit everybody in the Valley, whether or not you know it or not.
Right.
When ag does well, everybody does well.
You know, absolutely. And because ag plays into so many other things, whether it's property tax discussions in the state capitol and more, all of this is, you know, just continues to affect each person, whether you think you're related to agriculture or not. You really are.
Exactly.
In everything that we do in this state. It's a big deal. So some of the statistics and unique events that you have coming up, public school auctions. Are we buying the whole school or just part of the school? What's going on?
I think Minot, the school system up there, they've got some excess classroom buildings that they have that they're disposing of. So we'll be doing that. And I think the city of West Fargo, we have the contract for the city, both the impound car auction and also their fleet equipment. And part of that is occasionally selling some school-related stuff. So we get roped into a little bit of everything at Steph as auctioneers.
And you, I see you got a couple of bar-restaurant liquidations as well.
Yep, a couple of those. There's that...
Dean has his own joint.
There's a golf simulator, too, for you.
I saw that,
The Gimme's Golf Simulator. Right. That'll be an interesting one.
Okay.
But what that brings to mind is... Don't get boxed in by thinking Steffes Group is only going to deal with farmland or farm equipment, right? There's a whole lot more to your business model.
For sure. Yeah. We call it specialty, whether it's a golf simulator or I always joke about my 9-foot cast iron chicken. I think we talked about that last time. most unique item I ever sold, by the way, folks. We've done a little bit of everything through the years.
Okay. You have a you are now a regular columnist for Dakota Farmer.
Yeah.
And there the title I sort of love the title of your article, Is There Such a Thing as a Rich Renter? Anything you want to share out of that, any highlights, or would you like me to bring any out?
Well, you know, I think history has proven itself that those folks that have gone out there and stuck their neck out in terms of buying land have done the best. And that's what that article talks about and highlights in terms of, you know, where the real wealth in agriculture is in land.
Yeah.
And the name of the game is that you toil and toil all of your life. And hopefully at your end of your farming career, you have some land that's paid for that you can either rent out or pass on to your kids or sell for a bunch of big bucks. And that's where the true wealth is. It seems like, and I talk about it in the article, the big farm failures that we've been involved with from a cleanup perspective have always been folks, and there's exceptions. There's been some big failures that, you know, folks have owned a lot of land too, but most of those folks have rented a large portion of their farm. And I don't want to name names or anything.
Understand.
But, yeah.
And you're exactly right. Because the bottom line of your article is ownership really makes a difference. We can farm large with a lot of rented ground, but that ownership with the equity, that really is part of the journey and the legacy that can be left behind.
Yep. It's not so much what you pay for the land. It's what you can afford to pay.
Yes. Yes.
Make the payments.
Payments are a good, I don't want to necessarily say a good thing, but if you can make the payment, that's probably the best case scenario for you, your banker, and everybody else involved.
Yeah. My dad always says, Max, you got to have something to pay off. Whether it's a home note or a quarter of land or.
I don't know. It sounds like a guy who's got things paid off.
Okay. Yeah. It really does it.
Max, thank you for always coming in twice a month. We hear from the Steffes Group who are on the auction block. We greatly appreciate your updates between yourself, between and Brad. And just, again, congratulations on your honor from the chamber.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks for all you
Thanks,
do for
Max.
Us.
Appreciate
Anytime.
It.
All right. Folks, when we return, we definitely want to make sure to listen to the news. And then we've got another guest coming in. And do not forget, if you have a moment on this break, you should check out a fence check on the techsupportfarm.com website, because you want to make sure if you have all of your cybersecurity covered or not.
And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Hannah Hyman, you missed out on qualifying for our grand prize giveaway of $10,000 worth of a year's groceries.
There goes all that ice cream.
Oh, Hannah.
No.
Oh, well.
And I talk about ice cream because June is Dairy Month. Would love to have everybody participate in that. I brought ice cream into the station today because we should all have it. Because I like it too. So I have nothing wrong with it.
All right.
And also, we are taking care of our Here We Grow project. And Here We Grow means that this year we are raising 20 acres of wheat. We have several folks that we're working with that are sponsors for that project. Two of them include Codico Fuels and Propane. Remember, at Codico, it's not just about getting diesel fuel for the farm, but they handle bulk oils, propane for grain dryers, and so much more. They're in multiple sites across the Red River Valley. And Ellingson Companies. When you think of Ellingson, there's a lot of reasons. Not only service and maintenance, they'll optimize your cost. They help increase your land value with tiling systems and more. So check out Ellingson Companies when you're thinking about tiling and other projects.
Good deal. And we've got our guest on the line.
That's awesome.
So Thad couldn't make it into the studio, so he's like, you know, I'll just call it.
Let me be honest. This month is so
busy.
Yeah, I was going to use some expletives there. Thanks for stopping me. And I get it. So Thad with Thor Buildings, how are you today?
Doing good. How are you guys doing?
We are doing very well. Okay, so I know you talk about post-frame construction. What is that? I mean, I'm not exactly an engineer, and even though I might have graduated in ag ed, I'm more of a wood butcher than a carpenter, so you're going to need to help us out here.
Well, instead of your traditional stick building where you're building on a foundation wall or a thicketed slab, you're drilling holes and you're putting posts in the ground. We're a little different than a traditional post frame company because we don't put wood in the ground. We use a concrete column called a permacolumn. So we, you know, basically you take the life expectancy of a normal post frame building, you're only going to get about 50 years, but now instead of, you're not putting wood in the ground anymore. So really that building should easily last as long as any traditional built stick frame building. And so it's just a different way of building. You know, you're using laminated columns and, you know, running nailers horizontal instead of all the studs vertical.
So, Thad, there's some days where, especially in the winter months, Dean's talking about heavy weather. And by heavy, I mean snowfall, et cetera. With post-frame construction, are we looking at probably something that's able to stand more weight in those heavy snow-type years? Does that play into it as well?
Sure, when it's designed properly, you know, it still comes down to the roof trusses. But, yeah, especially the way we do, we really design at a high level. We've never lost a roof to date, and hopefully that continues. But we just don't like to cut any corners, and it's a very strong built building and very high energy efficient building doing post-frame over your traditional stick frame.
I have a feeling that one of the things that would be near and dear to my heart would be farm shops and some of those types of, you know, post-frame construction for the farm. But I have a feeling in the years that you have been operating as a business, you've seen some things really change in what farmers want to see in their shops.
Yeah, they're getting bigger in the doors, the bifold and the hydro swing doors are getting bigger all the time. You know, kind of like when we started out, it was like, seemed like they'd be around that 45-50, and now I think the smallest one, other than one that we're putting this year, is 60 by 20. And some of them are getting up to even the 70 wide. We got one guy that's going to put like a shop pit in, but he's going to have a hydraulic floor. So when it's not in use, it's up at, it lifts up to a normal floor height. And other advantages to using that too, if you want to work on something, pull up alongside, you can lower that floor down hydraulically and still stand there and work on something almost at ground level.
Okay, I'm going to be honest. So there's probably listeners who are thinking, why do I need to see a shop that big? What would be the point? Well, farm equipment for one.
Yeah, the farm equipment just keeps getting bigger and bigger. You know, every year, you know, it seems like they want bigger headers, taller combines, you know, or, you know, just trying to get everything in or get stuff in and unfold it while it's in the shop, sprayers or whatever. And yeah, it's wild. Like, we've built some as tall as 28 feet tall.
I'll be honest. My brothers, we operated out of what had been one time been an old wood granary for many years before they built a new shop. But what changed, you know, I remember Dad laying outside in the cold, having to work on something, like dragging a piece of cardboard and laying on a frozen ground to have to work on a piece of equipment. And you're right. When you say that it's so much nicer to bring things in, let them warm up. You have the ability to use all your tools. It's far easier to get maintenance and service done. So you're truly saving yourself a wear and tear on you, a wear and tear on the equipment, and even just having to take them somewhere for service if you can do it yourself. And that's maybe a factor that some farmers are talking about with you as they build these buildings.
Yeah, totally. And then just look at the sheer cost of equipment now. It's wild. How expensive combines and everything are anymore, tractors. And, you know, just like you said, if they can save some money and do some preventive maintenance, you know, in the shop in the winter and, you know, cut down on that downtime during
not everything's a shop. You've got a lot of storage buildings. Because, well, Dean, you park your car in the garage at home, right?
Yep.
Okay. Adds to
most
your,
of the time.
And adds to your resale value, right? In the end. Absolutely,
without a doubt. Yeah.
Okay. So think about that with farm equipment, too. If you have a shed that you can put that equipment in, that helps prevent the wear and tear on it, keeps it in from the snow, the sun. And that's better on your resale value down the road, too. So it's really like a car.
And don't most farmers have that, or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. I will say that I have seen things change in the last 15 years for sure, because folks have now gotten to the point where they're able to do that more frequently, but then also it becomes an on-farm asset as a building. So it really helps to increase the overall value of your operation.
So it's a win-win.
I think it would be. And one thing that I heard Thad mention that I'd like him to explain, he said a hydro swing door. Now, I think I know what that is, but I'm not really sure. And it's not like a regular garage door on the front of a building, is my guess. So can you explain that for us?
Well, like, you understand a garage door, an overhead door. So the largest garage door made is 40 feet wide and 18 tall. Very expensive doors. So with these farm equipment getting bigger and headers and all the stuff they're trying to get in through one door, now you go to like a bifold door, which is like an airplane hangar door where it hinges in the middle. You know, if it's say 20 feet tall, it hinges at the 10 foot horizontally and it folds up kind of like a piano hinge style.
Sure.
Or, you know, a hydro door is like where the whole wall of the door basically opens outward and lifts up, you know, so that door is, you know, it doesn't roll outside the building, it lifts outside of the building, you know, and it extend, if it's 20 feet tall and 50 feet wide, it's basically like a 50 by 20 foot panel that lifts up with hydraulic cylinders and lifts up, you know, vertically.
So Brad, being one of our sponsors for our Here We Grow project, we're going to get an opportunity to go look at a farm structure later this summer, which I'm kind of excited about. I don't get to tour construction sites very often. But Brad, as we look at things like that throughout the summer months, how many projects do you have? Do you have a long waiting list for people? How should folks be approaching the building process? They should just give you that initial phone call, have a plan in hand. You're willing to help them design it. What does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, right now, like, farm shops work out well for us that we fill in at times. Like, you know, we could probably still fill in a couple of farm shops this fall. I mean, we do a lot of commercial building, too, where we build shop condos or shop offices and stuff like that in Fargo-Moorhead, you know, forest area. So a lot of times you're waiting on permits, and when you're building on these farm shops, permits are usually very simple and straightforward. And so they're like good filler projects to fill in here or there. But yeah, we're very full. But the best thing to do is get a hold of us and start having the conversation about what you're looking for, and so we can get you a price, and, you know, so you can really go into it with eyes open on what it's going to cost.
I'm so glad he's working with everybody to do this. I'm the one who would come in and say, so I have a coupon. And can we? How do we start from there? So, well, we appreciate you taking some time out of the day to visit with us and just talk about that post-frame construction. I know we're going to be doing more of that throughout the summer months, and I'm looking forward to my education in better carpentry than what I have today. So thanks for your time today, Thad, with Thor Buildings.
All right. Thank you, Thad. And when we come back, we'll hit a little bit on a recap of the weather and let you know when the rain is back in the forecast. And we got a couple of ag topics. Cool chickens or happy chickens? Like Fonzie chickens? We'll have more on that coming up after the break. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. 151 in the afternoon. A wide variety of temperatures across the area. Mid-70s in Lakes Country. We're at 82 here at the studio, 87 right now in Hope and Mayville.
I'm sorry, wait a second. Yeah. It was 56 degrees at this time yesterday.
It's crazy, I know. There is a cold front just out to our west that'll be moving through here over the next few hours, shifting our winds to the northwest. And you'll notice a little more smoke in the air this evening. And Don't forget to check out the full strawberry moon tonight. It's really going to have a nice orange tint to it, very low to the horizon. The reason it's kind of accentuated in orange color, A, it's low to the horizon. So typically the light that comes through that lower half of the horizon accentuates the colors, that and the smoke. So we're getting the smoke on top of it. So check that out after sunset tonight if you're up. It should be a beautiful, beautiful sight, as we should have generally clear skies, just that smoky haze out there. So we teased before break about cool chickens. Hey, not that kind of cool chickens.
I didn't see them wearing tiny leather jackets.
All right. What are we talking about? Cool chickens or happy chickens?
Okay, I don't know how many times I have to repeat this. Stop picking up the chickens and carrying them around. I know all of you with your backyard chickens, they're awesome. You love them. But there have been links to salmonella poisoning because people are not washing their hands after they're handling the chickens. Please, please, let's not do this. Now,
I didn't know that was a problem.
It was a problem. All right, true or false? Chickens don't sweat. True or false?
Well, if they like it cool, I'm going to say true.
Chickens do not sweat. They pant to keep themselves cool. Cows don't sweat either.
Kind of like dogs.
Kind of like
that's
dogs.
How dogs, yep.
So if you see a bird with its beak open and it's breathing hard, it's really begging for relief, not for extra cracked corn. So a good option to help keep those chickens cool, because as you said, it's warm and we're going to see a warming trend. We have a lot of folks who have chickens in their life now. Cool water. Make sure that you give them cooler water, not just room temperature. They like to play in it. They drink it, and it really helps cool down their body considerably.
Okay, this might be a silly question. You know, when dogs get hot, they'll like to jump in the pool or jump in a lake. Can you hose down a chicken?
I don't think they like it, but you can.
To cool them off.
Yeah, you could do like a mister if you wanted, because I don't think they want the direct shot from the garden hose.
Probably not.
To me, that looks like you're going to get a lot of evil eye.
Yeah.
Edith, the chicken will be less than pleased with you. You can also turn on a fan. Give them some ventilation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If they're in the coop, turn on the fans. A lot of times they'll be outside. Maybe you can roll that enclosure into a shady spot where there's a breeze. You know, as it like blows around the west side of your house, happens at my place all the time. So why not let them happen, or let the wind take care of it? You also can give them an electrolyte solution. Now, I don't know where you buy this, if you just run to TSC.
Gatorade for chickens.
Exactly. Pedialyte for the chickens. Okay. So, but you can. You can actually give them some electrolytes. If you see them lift their wings, they're trying to cool off. It's not just women in their 50s looking for a hot flash to pass. So, again, the coop should be in the shade. What? You think I make this stuff up? I'm honest here. All right. Inside the chicken house, keep the litter dry. That moist litter also raises the humidity. It makes it harder for the chickens to regulate their body temperature. So you don't want that built up moisture in the litter. I do want to remind folks, if you're getting chicken eggs from your neighbor, which I happen to do, check if they're washing the eggs or not. Because I've noticed when I open up my egg cartons, I know mine don't get washed because there's still some litter and things stuck to the eggs. So you should double check that. And remember, if your eggs have been washed, that takes the bloom off of them. So they have to go in the refrigerator. If they have not been washed, they're actually pretty storable on the kitchen counter. In fact, most countries outside the U.S. do not store their eggs in the fridge. Yeah.
What about after, let's say you hard boil your eggs?
Sure.
Should you refrigerate them after that?
It's just common practice. To me, it's already cooked. But you've also, remember, you've also taken the bloom off. So now that entry point for bacteria is a greater chance. So you probably do want to put it back.
And the reason I ask, I've noticed, if you have eggs in the fridge after, 3-4 days, let's say after a couple days, no problem. I've left eggs after I hard boil them out on the counter. And when I crack them, and maybe I cooked them wrong, I don't think so. When I crack them open after they're at room temperature for a few days, they reek.
Oh, it's the sulfur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then the taste, they didn't taste as good either.
Oh, that's very possible.
Okay.
Just add more Miracle Whip when you're making the deviled eggs. They'll be okay.
Okay.
That's what I would do. And for now, somebody's going to have a fight with me over Miracle Whip versus mayo. And I am team Miracle Whip. And you guys who fought me on Twitter, I still won. There you go. Okay. Now, chickens won't eat when their body temps are elevated, but neither do we. I mean, if I am hot and sweaty, I don't come in the house and think, wow, can't wait for roast beef and mashed potatoes. So this is really just some common sense type things that we want to make sure to do as we're raising livestock, including chickens. Lots of things going on in the region as we continue Ag Tech Week. For any of you who will be at the Bushel Buddy Seat Conference, that started this afternoon. I'll be downtown this evening, and then also tomorrow they have some panel discussions, and I'll be a part of one of those. So, all right, other things that are going on agriculturally right now. We want to talk about, we've talked about our Here We Grow. Ooh, I did go to the field last night on my way home from everything I was doing later yesterday, and our wheat's probably about 5-leaf.
Nice.
It looks really good, but of course those cool temperatures were outstanding for it. And man, hat off to our farmers, Jim and Michael, because weed control is stellar. It's a clean field.
Good.
But if you remember when we had Casey Pellman in from Peterson Farm Seed, this is a commercial seed field and she wants it to be really nice and clean. So Kelsey and I are hoping to, the next time we do an interview, she and I are actually going to go out to the field and try to call you from the field and give you a report right there.
How's the moisture looking out there? Use a little rain?
You know, we had just a few tents like Sunday night. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it was terrible, but if we're going to see like 80 to 82 today, if we're going to see an extended warm trend, maybe then we'll want to see a little
That'll
bit
more. That'll be next week. Yeah, we'll start to see that extended warmth next week, I think.
Didn't you say we're going to see some rain Thursday night this week?
Looks like it, yeah. Thursday night, we'll see some more rain.
We'll probably catch up all right and be okay with it. I'm not going to panic too terribly much right there. And then also, because it is haying season, and we talked about this with Max as well, balers. If you are carrying over a baler, make sure you do your maintenance on it well, because bearings can get hot. We can see fires. Usually it doesn't just take out the baler. Generally, it takes the whole tractor with it too. If your belts are loose, they'll cause friction that builds up with dirt and so forth, and you can have spontaneous fires in the back of the baler. And for whatever you might think, be safe. Do not open the shields when the baler's running. Turn the PTOs off. Don't stick your arm in there. We have plenty of farmers walking around with the results of that, and they are missing a limb. Be safe out there.
No doubt. No doubt about it. Well, for Bridget and myself, we want to thank everybody for joining us today on Weather and Ag in Focus. Don't go anywhere. The Jay Thomas Show, that's coming up next.